Y'all turn with me into Luke chapter 15. Y'all be careful on that road. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a wonderful time of song, Lord. We thank you for Brother Lonnie's testimony and Grace Evans, Lord, that you give him the stroke, Lord, or strokes. Father, we ask that you comfort and wrap your arms around Brother Wayne and Sister Sue, Lord, as he goes to his sister's funeral, Father. Lord, just ask that you just comfort the whole family there, Father. Keep them safe on the road, all of them that are out there, Lord. Father, we also ask that you guide us in your word, Lord. Open our understanding that we can see what you're trying to show us here. Teach us some things, Lord, that we can carry with us, not only out here today, Lord, but carry with us from now on, Lord. Remember your great love for us, Lord. It exceeds our understanding. Father, we can't truly understand just how much you love us, Lord, just how much you've done for us, Lord. But what we do understand, we're very grateful for. Father, for somebody here that's never trusted you as Lord and Savior, Father, I just ask that you soften their heart today, yes, that they accept you before this message is done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Start in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15. And said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So this guy had two sons, and this was a hard-working man and a hard-working family from the way it sounds. And he had two sons, and the younger one said, Dad, you know, I think I can do better with my portion than off somewhere else and stay here. I'm not interested in the family business. I'm adding my own twist on that and a whole lot of scripture. I'm just seeing the way it could have played out as a family there, because I've seen families do that. Some of the kids just think they can do it on their own and they want now something different in their culture and our culture. In their culture, the sons do truly get their portion of the inheritance. That is legally theirs. In our culture, you get to choose what you're going to do with whatever's yours. You don't have to give it to your kids. You can give it to your puppy dog. I guess you give it to anybody you want to give it to. But in that culture, it belonged to the sons there. So the younger said, you give me what's mine, and I'm going to go do whatever I want with it. The dad could have said no, but he didn't. He's like our Heavenly Father. You know, something that I've always seen in my life that God does with us is he gives us enough rope to hang ourselves with.
Yeah.
You know, he does. We can listen and learn, because most of us in here grew up with some really wise teachers. I didn't realize how wise my teachers were until after I got grown and did some of this garbage that this young man's about to do in his walk. But we make these decisions, and we shouldn't hold anybody accountable for it. The decision this young man's about to make, his dad did not want him to do these things. His dad had taught him better. If his dad hadn't taught him better, the older son could do the same thing as the younger. Dad taught them both the same thing. They both grew up together. So you can't look and how your kids and grandkids' decisions that they make when they're grown, you can, but you shouldn't hold that as your fault. If you try to raise up that child in the way of the Lord, you try, then you are not responsible for what they do. And God will give us the rope to hang ourselves. Now, the good thing about it is if you're raised up in the way of the Lord, usually, whenever you do hit rock bottom, your senses will come back to you. Let's see what happens to this young man. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance with a riotous living. So when he's doing this riotous living over there, when you got a lot of money, and dad's pretty well off. So this young man got a pretty big chunk of change when he left there. Dad's got a lot of employees. Dad's got some property. Dad's got some sheep and all kinds of livestock out there probably. This young man had quite a bit of change when he left out of town and went into this foreign country or this other countryside. Bet he had a lot of friends when he got there, right?
Yes.
As long as the money held out.
That's exactly right. Those friends are not really friends if they're only there because you're paying. They're just not.
That's right.
And you find out who your real friends are when you get in need. You know, it's amazing how many people will call you when they need something, but when you need something, you can't find them. Or they got all kinds of excuses why they can't come help you. You see, that's not a real friend. When he had spent all, it says in verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now this mighty famine, I'm sure, is the hand of God. You know, when you hit rock bottom, God is not going to try to make it easy on you. He's not. When you hit rock bottom and you're not serving Him, or even worse, you're saying, I'm not listening to you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't have to do what you want me to do. I can do whatever I want to do. You know, it's just like our kids. We want to see our kids prosper. We want to see our kids do well. We would help them through anything in the whole wide world as long as we know they're at least trying. But if you see your kids steadily messing up, steadily messing up, steadily messing up, steadily messing up, and not trying to do any better, and not listening to you trying to tell them how to do any better, sooner or later you got to say, or you should say, oh, I'm done. I'm here if you need me. You can come here, but I'm not going there. I'm not. I mean, about the third time that a kid gets stuck in the same set of ruts because they just refuse to go find another route, you got to say, you want to get yourself out of that hole. If you don't, when will they ever learn? They never will. And you know, God, I've said it, and I probably won't say it until He calls me home, God loves you so much He'll accept you just exactly like you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. He won't leave you that way. That's how much He loves you. And that's how much we should love our kids. We won't leave them in the state that they're in. If they will listen at all, they will even just try and get better. We'll try to help. And that's the way God does for us. But this man out there, when he had spent all of his substance, everything that his dad had given, when he spent it all, God sent a drought. Well, there ain't no extra for nobody. When there's not a whole lot of extra, who do you share with? Who do you share with when there's not a lot of extra? Family. And I'm not, those of you who know me know that blood family and church family are two totally different things. And I'm a lot more likely to help any one of y'all in here than I am a lot of my blood family. Because I know y'all are trying. That's what I know. Some of my blood family are trying. Some are still spending theirs on righteous living. And I can't help them. So what I give them is cast the pearl before the swine, is what Scripture says. But when everything's going to get tight, you help those that you love. Help those that you really care about. Because you only got so much. And the Lord tells us to be good stewards of what we've got. And when everything is rolling out and everything's just doing well and everybody's prosperous, we don't do as good a job. Or at least maybe you do. Jen and I do not do as good a job when we're very prosperous of managing well. We just don't. You know, the kids will get an ice cream with a meal. when you go out and eat or something, you're spending, and when you buy dessert for $7, you know, it's not a cheap decision to make, and it could go towards something else that's a little bit better for us in our future, right? But when all of the extras go, and money goes to get tight and take care of those that you love, this man went into a foreign country, and he went over there looking for someone to be friends with him. But he don't believe what they believe. He don't talk like they talk. And he wasn't brought up to act like they act. And whether you want to believe it or not, if you were brought up in a godly home, you're probably not going to be very comfortable out in the world.
Amen.
And the world is not going to be very comfortable with you. Because you're going to make them feel like they're doing something wrong when you go and tell them you don't know about this and you don't know about that. And this just don't feel right. I don't know how I feel about this. People don't want to hear other people saying that. And I can imagine this young man, he was out there spending daddy's hard work livelihood, but I imagine this young man wasn't really fitting in very well. He was just footing a bill, so they were all letting him stay.
Yeah.
And that's the way the world would do. You got to be careful who your friends are. They're not friends if you're having to pay their way. And when he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, there is nothing worse that you can do than be unequally yoked. You know that? The scripture tells us not to be unequally yoked. And he's not just talking about marriage. Y'all need to know that. This is talking about unequally yoked in business, in partnership, in friends. You don't want to be unequally yoked. It is not going to be good for you. I tried to tell him, train Nicky. Now I'm trying to tell the five that's still in the house. If you're trying to be friends with the world, thinking you're going to bring them to Christ, it don't work that way. It just does not work that way. If you compromise on what you believe, and you compromise and go to where they're at, they have no reason to come where you're at. Because you just told them it's all right to be where I'm at because you care. You see what I'm saying? You start compromising on what you believe and how you live, sooner or later you're going to start looking just like them. And you're going to one day hopefully be like this young man and go, what in the world am I doing here? This is not me. I don't like being this person. And you're going to come to your senses. But how much of your testimony, how much time have you wasted to get to that point?
Amen.
When all you had to do at first was just guard who your inner circle of friends are.
Amen.
Because your inner circle of friends, as Jerry Spann calls them, your circle of influence, not only do you influence them, but they influence you. So be careful who that is that you're letting influence you. He says, when he joined himself to this citizen, he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Now this man grew up a Jew. And swine are what to a Jew?
Unclean.
Unclean. And not only is he feeding them, but look, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He was out there feeding the pigs, the hogs, thinking, I'll eat with them. But the master of the place said, oh no, that's for the pigs. It ain't for you. Can you imagine when you're not even allowed to get the table scraps from something that you have grown up being taught is unclean? You think you hit rock bottom? Most of us have never hit rock bottom this bad. This is bad, bad. This man is not allowed to eat scraps from the hog's trough. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him to him. And when he came to himself, finally came to himself. I don't know about y'all, but I remember. And it's been 27 years. Trey was 25 years. In 25 years, when I came to my senses and I realized I was totally a different person than who I wanted to be, who I was brought up to be, who I was supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a shining light to the Lord. You're supposed to be a shining light to the Lord, for the Lord. That's what we're called to be once we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I trusted Him as Lord and Savior when I was 8. So how was it when I was 25 years old and I found myself like this man out feeding hogs? Didn't even, wasn't even where I was supposed to be at all. In a foreign country. That, you know, to me, I was still right there in Dibon, but I felt like I was in a foreign country. I felt like I was somewhere else. I couldn't even talk to my dad. I could not look him in the eyes. It's a horrible feeling. Came to his senses. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough in despair, and I perish with hunger? This man says, my dad's servants have food left over after they eat. My dad's servants have food to share. What in the world am I doing in this country when people treat people like this? What am I doing with this type of people? What am I doing not there? That place is way better than here. And I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am not, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. This is how we come to the Lord. Lord, I don't deserve nothing. But you say you forgive me. Jesus paid the price for all sin. I didn't think mine could be forgiven, but I realize now that Jesus' blood can pay for any sin. There's no sin Jesus can't pay for. To think that there's a sin Jesus can't pay for is belittling Him. Right. It is saying that His blood is not as powerful as it is. There's nothing we can do that He can't forgive. But that doesn't give us the right to be a child of the King. And yet, when we come to the Lord and Savior, He adopts us into the family as children of the kingdom of God. He says, I'll go to my dad. Tell him I'm sorry. Tell him I messed up. Tell him I don't deserve to be your son anymore. But will you let me be a servant? Will you take me as a servant of the house? Can you imagine how he had to accept that he was humbling himself to not just dad, but older brother too? Have you ever thought about having to tell your older brother that you don't deserve to be a brother or sister anymore? And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This is how the Father does. This is how we do with our kids. If we see them, even a glimpse that they're trying to do right, we'll run to them and try to help them. We'll encourage that every way that we can encourage it and try to help them out. This is what a real dad does, and this is what our Heavenly Father does. You may feel like you get into a low point. You may feel like you got so far that He don't want you anymore. But God always wants you. And He's always right there waiting for you. He tells us, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. That's what God tells us.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll never leave you. So when you feel like He's not listening anymore, when you feel like He's not there anymore, He ain't going anywhere. That's you. That's you. You've decided you want to go off in a foreign country. And you may still be here, but it feels like you're a long way off. You feel like you're a long way off from God, but you're still right there. He's just waiting for you to come to Him. He's waiting for you to humble yourself and admit that His way is the right way. His way is the way we should be trying. His way, even though ours may seem like it makes more sense to us, what we think messes us up so often. What we want something to be messes us up so often. Truth is not what you and I see. Truth is what the Bible says.
Man.
Truth is what God says. Truth is
man.
This is the only moral compass we've got. It's the only compass to tell us what is really right. Because our flesh will lie to us, our mind will lie to us. But God never lied to us. Never. His dad ran to him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. See, he humbled himself. He asked for forgiveness. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So the son was dead, but now he's alive. The older son, though, he wasn't so happy. Mm-hmm. Verse 25, now his elder son was in the field, working just like he did every day. Every day but the Sabbath. And as he came and he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and he asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father killed the fat calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. So what did dad do?
Came out.
Same thing he did with the other one.
Yes.
Therefore came his father out, and he entreated him. And he answered him, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time my commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son come, which had devoured thy limb of harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. How in the world that I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked for you? I do everything you tell me to do. I'm getting up early and working. I'm working until dark. I'm always doing what you say. You don't ever give me nothing. Y'all ever heard those saying, receive not because you ask not? Look what dad tells him. He said unto his son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You don't have to ask for a kid. They're yours. You want a kid for a party? Get you a kid for a party. There are so many things in our lives that we don't take advantage of and don't enjoy because we just don't think we can.
Right.
We don't think that we're supposed to. We're This is not the way dad wants to do something. Dad didn't tell you you always got to do something just like he does. Matter of fact, I want my kids to be who they are. I don't want my kids to do what I tell them to do because I say it. I don't want them to be who I want them to be because I want them to be that. I want them to tell me who they want to be. And I want to help them be the very best of them that they can be. And that's what God wants of us. So often we get so caught up in what we think we're supposed to do, what we think we're supposed to do, what we're this, and so much is tradition. Dad didn't kill a calf and celebrate because he killed a calf no time to eat, right? To dad, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, how often do our parents throw parties? You know, how often do we really care to throw parties as we get older in life? It wasn't that dad was telling him he couldn't do it. He just never said, dad, I'm going to kill a cat. He got some friends over. You know, so often we sacrifice things that we could enjoy. Kind of like we have a whole lot of liberties in today as being a Christian. It doesn't mean we go out and do wrong. Everything that we do needs to be patterned under the two commands of the Lord. Love the Lord first. Love the heart, soul, and mind, right? Love our neighbor as ourselves. So when did God say we go to a singing on Sunday? instead of going to church on Sunday, huh? I've never told you that. We worship a lot of different places. But we need to really be looking to encourage those that are trying to do right, trying to get back. No matter how much they've messed up in the past.
Amen.
He says in verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead. He was dead. He was out in the world. We could not know him. We couldn't know anything of him. And he's alive again. He was lost in his family. Does this mean that the brother gets to inherit all his, some more stuff and bad again? No. He lost that. Just like a lot of times the things that we do in this world, it'll mess up what we could have possibly done in the future. You know, if you go down the wrong road and stay on that road too long, who knows, I might end up in prison. Would sure mess up being a pastor of a church, right? If I'm walked up for the rest of my life or knocked in the head by somebody that had better sense than I did, you know, we stay on those roads too long and we'll mess up what we could have done. Doesn't mean that God still can't use us. God can always use us, and the things that we do in life and the things that He brings us through are great testimonies. Just like Brother Lonnie shared today, it's a great testimony of what God does for us because He loves us. We're His child, and if we will come back to Him, He'll run to us. He loves us and He cherishes us. Our rewards, our life, our eternity is not in this world anyway. It's in heaven. That's where things are. This morning, on the way to church, Robert used to be really good at making people laugh anyway. But we're on the way to church, and we got to talk about mamas, because all the kids, you know, those of you that don't know, we got several that we gathered up from, like picking them up at the kennel, like dogs or something, you know. They came to the house, they just never left. You feed them, they're like cats. But anyway, they got a lot of different families. They got grandparents that we still let them have contact with, and their blood families. So they got nanny this and nanny that and grandma this and grandma that and mama this and mama that. Well, I had said something about mama, my grandmother. And Rob went to say something about Cash and Zonnie's grandmother. And I said, no, that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about my grandmother. He said, well, where's she at? I said, she's big dog. He said, oh, she's in heaven then. You'll see her again, Dave.
Oh.
And that's just the way he looks at it.
Amen.
You know, these kids, they realize that our place is not in this world. We this is a big old testing ground that we're on. So whether you find yourself as the prodigal son or the good son, either way, our eternal home is in heaven. And our job here is to shine a light and try to get as many folks as we can to come to that light.
Amen.
Get as many folks as possible to realize what's there. We got to be real careful on who our friends are in this world, or it will dim your life. It'll mess your life. It's really hard to witness to folks if you go and you act just like them. If you talk just like them. If you get angry just like them. If they never see a peace or a joy in your life, why in the world would they want what you've got? When people see you, who they see? Do they see somebody that's happy? Do they see somebody that feels like everything is going to be okay? Do they see you as somebody that's always hopeful? Or do they see you as somebody that's always complaining or griping or unhappy or disappointed? Or who are you when people see you? I can't answer that for you. When you look in the mirror, who do you see yourself as? You know, if you got a spouse, they'll tell you who everybody else sees you as. But you need to judge yourself. You need to judge yourself and go, how am I going to do tomorrow? When I go out in the public, who am I talking to? If you catch yourself about to be not like Christ, take a deep breath and remember you're here to witness for Jesus. In whatever we're doing, whether it be at work, at the grocery store, at the service station, wherever you're at, you're supposed to be a witness for the Lord. And people notice when things are not going right in a business transaction, somebody's really messed up and it's, they want you to pay for it. The way that you handle it, I'm not saying let them take advantage of you. I'm saying handle it in a way like Jesus would do. Don't lose it and get angry and say things that are not godly. I told y'all a story a long time ago. I don't know how many of you remember it, so I'll tell it again. Lady got pulled over in her car. Police officer walked outside the car and said, "Ma'am, I need to see your license and registration." And she went to just cussing him. "What did I do? I didn't do nothing wrong. Ma'am, I need to see your license and registration." She just chewing him out. "Ma'am, I need to see your license and registration. What did I do? What did I do?" She handed it to him, but he walked back to the car and runs her information. He comes back up and said, "I'm so sorry, ma'am. Here you go." "Why did you pull me over?" He said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. I thought your car was stolen. I heard you screaming profanity out your window with those other drivers. And you got a license plate on your car saying to follow you to church. So I thought the car was stolen. I'm so sorry." Watch how you talk. Because people are watching how you talk.
Amen.
People are watching how you act. Are you shining a light for Jesus? Or is those Satan saying, "Just keep on doing what you're doing. We're keeping them out of church." Now, who are you working for? You're working for the Lord or you're working for Satan? And only you know the answer to that. Because people watch you everywhere. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you teach us in your word. Lord, help us to pick our friends wisely, Lord, for those that are around us, Lord. Lord, to find folks that really, truly care about us, Lord, and not about what we can do for them. Lord, because there's a lot of good folks in this world. I believe that. I've met them all over the country, Father. I know I've got brothers and sisters here in this nation. Father, we got brothers and sisters around this world. I know there's good people. So, Lord, help us not to get unequally yoked with the world. But Father, not to join in and look just like them. Lord, ruin our testimony. Lord, let our light be covered by passing. Lord, help us. Help us to be who you have us to be. Father, if there's somebody here that's never accepted you, they didn't know, Lord, that you can forgive for anything. There's nothing you can't forgive them. Lord, let them turn their life over to you today. Lord, that they can join our family. Lord, that they can have a home in heaven one day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Number 124.